Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 28. Let's talk about staying busy for Jesus. You know, it's important that we understand a fact here in our text, where we're at in Matthew. We're in the last week of Jesus. That's what we're in, the last week of Jesus altogether. And a lot of the instruction and teaching of Jesus comes down to, there's a priority here. There's a priority here. Think about this. You knew you had only 1 week to live, right? You just, 1 week. You know that at the end of the week, you're going to go be with the Lord. How would your priorities change? How would they shift? For me, it would bring down all the important stuff to the front and all the trivial to the back. I would not be talking to you guys about the weather. I just wouldn't be. We'd be speaking about very important things. You would see me huddled around my family, close friends, you know, expressing my love and comfort in my demise. I mean, just to be around them, and to huddle together. I would be telling you the most important things. All of us agree with that, right? That would be something you would be doing. Last service, Jesus discussed the importance of what? Waiting for his return. You guys, whoever was here last week would understand that. Being very vigilant and very faithful until he comes back with the relationship that you have with him. Now this week, he continues in the same line of thinking, telling us the importance that as we wait on him, we keep busy. And I'm saying for the kingdom itself. You know, our walks with him is not a noun, but it's a verb. We're people of action. We're industrious people when you speak about the kingdom of God. You know, there's a scripture in Luke that mirrors this particular parable that we're going to read today, and it's in Luke chapter 19. It mirrors Matthew 25. It's a little different, but it's the same principle. And, you know, I love reading it in the Old King James. Jesus is speaking, he says, and this is where we get our title today. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said to them, occupy until I come. Occupy until I come. And that's our title today. I think it expresses exactly what our text in Matthew expresses in the text today. I want to look at three different things. First, I want to talk a little bit about service itself, or really God's investment in you. God has invested in you in a number of different ways. But then really our outline today is ability, availability, and accountability. Those three things. That's what we see in the text today. So occupy until I come. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 through 28. Verse 1, it says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability, his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Now Jesus is about to go on that, as we know it today, a 2,000-year journey. He's about, so a lot of this is relevant to the particular week that before his death and resurrection. Now, when you look at verse 14 and 15, the word talent, it's not talking about gift or abilities. Talent was a denomination of money back then. And it would change, you know, I have a talent of gold, a talent of silver, different things like that. It would change over from the times of Joshua and David and all that till the times now. But it's not talking about, you know, we think talents, we think, oh, our gifts, our abilities. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about an investment of money that this master gives his servants. And here we see the master calling the servants, delivering them different talents to those with, and you notice in the text, different abilities. What we see here is the master investing in the servants, in his servants of his kingdom. you know. Now think about this. What has God invested in you? What has God invested in you? First and foremost, he invested his son to snatch you out of the jaws of hell. He really has. He's given everything for you. He's invested as much as he could, possibly. He's given his only begotten son. Salvation, it is free. It's a gift of God, but it was not cheap on God's end. He gave his son, which cost him everything. I think it's harder to give your son than to go yourself. Don't you agree? I mean, if you were to say, well, someone's got to go to the cross, it would be harder for me to send my son. I said, I'll go. I'm the father. I'll go. I don't want my son to go. I think it's harder when you think about it for the father to send his son than for him to go himself. He gave all. He gave his son. And he has and will invest in our life's work. You know, and by the way, it's his life's work. Everything that he's invested in you is his life's work in you. Our life is not our own. When we come to Christ, we now belong to God, right? We belong to God. It's not our own life anymore. It's his life. And it's for him to do what he wants. Isaiah 64 says, but now, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, you are the potter, and we are the work of your hand. And that's what it is. We're the work of God's hand. You know, when we're talking about service today, there's a unbiblical thinking about ministry. Let the pastor do it, right? He's the professional. Let the deacons do it. That's their job. Let the professionals do it. You guys are the professionals. All of us together, we're the professionals. We're to carry out, our hands carry out the work of God. That's what it is. I don't know why he did that. I mean, he could have easily just got a group of angels to handle it all and probably do it a lot better than we're doing it. But he has decided to let the people of God do the work of God. It's kind of amazing, through the Holy Spirit. So he gave us gifts. When he ascended to heaven, those are talents in the sense of abilities and things that we're good at. All of us are good at different things. You guys remember the second chapter of Acts? It's the Holy Spirit that gives the gifts. It says, therefore, and this is in Ephesians, he says, when he ascended on high, and we're talking about when he went back to heaven, the ascension we call that, he led captivities captive and gave gifts to men. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, some children's workers, some deacons, all different type of gifts that he's given. This is not the exclusive gifts. And the reason he did that, the reason he gave gifts to men, or women, people of the body of Christ, in verse 12, it says, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's why the gifts are there, for those reasons. And how long? Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the nature of the fullness of Christ. And that's only going to happen as we ourselves ascend into heaven. The gifts are for now, in between, until he comes. And then he gives us more reasons, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, to the trickery of men, by the cunningness, craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ. So those gifts are for our edification, teaching, rebukes, encouragement, all of those different things, those gifts. And all of you guys and myself and everybody here, everybody downstairs, we all possess those abilities and gifts. And that's why it's so encouraging when we see the body operating. Years ago, I went to this one hot dog stand. I kind of like Chicago hot dogs. You know, occasionally you go. And it's called Kojak's. If you've ever been there, it's on 79th Street. And they are efficient over there, I'll tell you what. Everybody knows their job. You order something and you get it right every time, and you see the assembly line there just happening really quick. That's what I like about the church, when you see that, when you see everybody operating in their gifts itself. So think about this. God's investment in you, it's threefold, and it's S's. It's salvation, okay? He has obtained our salvation. Sanctification, that is, he's processing us right now until we go be with him. But then the third is service, and that's what I want to talk about today, service, our service to God. You know, when we talk about service, we need to understand that service to God, or when we perform our services, it is to be to God and not to man. It's to be to God and not the church or the ministry, but to God. Everything that you do, to do unto the Lord. And we should always be doing all of our service to God. Now, when I am working unto the Lord, no matter how a ministry or a church or people affect me, because people fail, ministries fail, churches fail, they're not perfect. When I'm working unto him, I'm protected from the bitterness of failure of those things. You guys understand what I'm saying? When you think about years ago, I was working in a ministry that was going through some upheaval changes, some really radical changes, problems. I saw many people in that ministry, and we had a few thousand people in that ministry. I saw many people in that ministry grow bitter because of different things that were going on within that ministry, because they looked toward the ministry and its failure. They were bitter. The time they invested, the money that they donated, became kind of the fuel for bitterness and regret. And I learned a great lesson, and I think a wonderful lesson, and I want to pass that on to everybody today. Always work, always donate to the Lord. And you have no problem. Doesn't matter if there's mismanagement. Doesn't matter if, I mean, you don't want to stay in something like that. I agree with that. But what I'm saying is that if you're always giving to the Lord, if you're always working to the Lord, if you give your money to the Lord, you know, because ministry and churches and people, they're eventually going to fail you. They will fail you. But if you're always looking toward the Lord, you're always going to have that great joy, because you're given to him. And he will protect you in all of those situations. There's that safety net built into this principle. And I have found when my heart is set toward man, that bitterness arises. I look at the person or the church or the ministry, and that bitterness can rise up. Man is fallible, and everything he touches is fallible. The church is operated by the sons and daughters of God, and they're fallible. They are there, but God never fails. So as long as we have our eyes on him, our service toward him, and he will never forget our labor of love. He says, I don't forget your labor of love. You give a cup of water to a saint, I don't forget about that. I know about every little thing that you do, everything that you've said, everything that you donate, everything that you service toward. I ain't ever going to forget that. Never. So it's a good principle to understand and learn. Look at verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. So God gives the ability, and those abilities are from him. Okay, those abilities are from him. All of your resources, all of your talents, and we're talking about abilities now, all of the energy, all of the ability that you have, they're from God. They are from God. If you begin to take credit for yourself, believe me, you're going to fall on your nose. It will happen. I can guarantee you that. Everything that you have, all the money you have, the house, the car, your abilities, your talents, your brain, your education, all that stuff is from the Lord. Verse 14 says, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. So, and if you look at verse 15, they're distributed according to the ability that they have. And to one he gave 5, another 2, another 1, to each according to his own ability. I don't know, you ever thought about yourself? You're a unique creation, You know, people say, well, everybody's got a twin in this world. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Even note, identical twins do not have the same fingerprint. They do not. They're not. Nobody's identical. Even identical twins are different. And we know that by even personality. There's no one like you. There is no one like me. And thank God for that. Nobody would want two of me in this world, right? Nobody would. One is enough. But it's to God's glory that we're all so different. You know that they have identified and categorized over 1 million species of insects. And we're not talking about the subcategories, you know, like the brown mosquito and the green mosquito and whatever. We're talking just species. 1 million. I mean, it shows the diversity of God. It is to God's glory that everything is so different. And that has nothing to do, like I said, with these insects, with the variety in those species. I mean, you could start breaking down a lot of stuff. And they probably haven't discovered even half of that stuff yet, right? They're constantly, go down the Amazon, we'll find a few more hundred down there, here and there. So it's to God's glory that we all look and act so different because we are a very unique creation. So it makes sense that he would distribute abilities differently. That's what it is. Everybody is different in that ability. To one, he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. You know, don't let the numbers fool you. Most of us are 2-talent people. Honestly, we are. Most of us are 2, maybe 1 talent. Maybe you got a 5-talent here. You have these different abilities. But most of us are kind of normal. I don't know. Have you guys ever complained to yourself, complained to God about yourself? I have. You make me like this, especially when I fall on my face. Why am I like this, Lord? I wanted hair. I wanted some hair. I used to have nice hair, Lord. It used to be down to my shoulders and years ago, but it's gone. I mean, why'd you make me like this? Honestly, you know, there's things about myself I don't like. I'm sure all of us agree with that. There's things about you personally that you probably see better than anybody, you just don't like. I see the flaws. I see the inabilities. But, you know, it's to God's sovereignty that he distributes gifts differently. It's his sovereignty. He makes it up. Whatever he decides you're going to be, it's his unique creation of you. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians, but to one, the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. In other words, he's decided he's going to make Dean just like this. Nice hair, right? he's going to make Natasha just like this. And he's going to make Shelley just like this. And it's to his glory that he's done that. There's no mistakes with God. There's no mistakes. And it's important. You know, when we look at Billy Graham, you say, I can never be like that. Well, hey, you're not supposed to be like Billy Graham, right? You're supposed to be, you know, like Natasha or Trish. You're supposed to be who you are. Only Billy Graham is supposed to be like Billy Graham. And when he goes to be with the Lord, there will no longer be a Billy Graham in this world. Actually, he's getting up there too, right? He's doing pretty good. God never makes a mistake. So it's important for us to embrace who we are, what we have, and what God has given us, because he doesn't make mistakes itself. If you're a 5-talent person, you need to embrace it. If you're a 2-talent person, you need to welcome that. Understand that this is what God has given you. If you're the 1-talent person, let me give you a little advice. Squeeze everything you can out of that 1 talent, right? You got to work a little harder. That's all right. Now, here's a fact. God has given you abilities that no one else possesses. There's unique abilities that no one else possesses. So when we talk about abilities, they are in the hands of the sovereignty of God for his good pleasure. For his good pleasure. It's important to understand that. And I think that if you do embrace that, there's this great freedom that comes into your life that you understand that he's happy with you. He's content with how he's made you, and if he's content, how much greater can we be content in that? So it's the ability we're talking about. Then there's the availability. That's a different story. Look at verse 16, 17, and 18. He says, then he who received 5 talents went out and traded with them and made another 5 talents, doubled it. And likewise, who had 2 talents gained 2 more. He doubled it also. And the one who received 1 went away and dug it in the ground and hid it. He hid his Lord's money. You notice how that Jesus separates the 5 and the 2 talent from the 1 talent servant. So what is the difference between the 5, the 2, and the 1 talent? Well, it's not a difference in the amount of talents. That's irrelevant, okay? But he who had received 1 went out and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. The difference between the profitable and the unprofitable servant is this. The profitable servant made themselves available for the master's work. That's the difference. That's all the difference in everything. And here's where availability trumps ability. To make yourself available to God. We take advantage of our ability by making ourselves available to God. Now, what do we do to make ourselves available? Well, the works that God has prepared for us. Do you realize that before time even started, he prepared works for you to walk in? Let me just read this. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We're already set. We just got to find out what they are, right? That's the hard part, is trying to find out what they are. But he's already given us works to walk in. He's prepared them. He's already got them done. You know, we also must be very selective in our service. I know when sometimes I get in the frenzy mode, right? I do this, do this, do this. I mean, we got to be selective what we are doing. This should not be everything and anything. There is a lot to do. There's a whole lot to do, but what is really important? What is really important? You guys get the frenzied days where you got 100 things going on and you sit down and finally realize, what's really important today that I have to get done? Because if you start doing the other things, the most important things are not going to get done. There is a lot to do, but what is important? Not everything is profitable. That's what it comes down to. Not everything is profitable. What we do unto God, you know, including doing it with, I would say, the right motive, too. That's important, to do it with the right motive. You could be doing things for God with the wrong motive and be kind of grumpy and complaining and this and that. That's not what God wants. You know, not complaining. You know, complaining is not a really good reputation in the Bible. You go back to the children of Israel. We had better times in Egypt. I like the onions there, the garlic, you know. But they complained all the time. But not complaining, as the Bible says, God loves a cheerful giver. He loves for us to be happy about giving. So if you're sweeping the floor, if you're cleaning the toilet, if you're ministering to the kids, if you're preaching the gospel, you do it right with a joyful heart. I'm doing it unto you, Lord. And that's all that matters. You know, the second thing, though, is to make ourselves available, you have to walk in the Spirit, right? You have to walk in the Spirit. Because that's, when you're walking in the Spirit, it kind of sorts out the priorities. The Spirit helps us walk in the necessary things. Availability means available to the Holy Spirit's leading and not our own whims. Believe me, it's not always easy as to work to find the will of God in our lives. It's not always that easy. My brain comes unhinged sometimes with all the things I want to do. One of the hardest things is when I have a lot of free time. I want to just relax and do things, but there's important things and then there's not so important things. But my brain comes up with all these ideas, but not all of them are God's leading. To be a profitable servant, we must, above all things, walk in the leading the control and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And that's an art. That is something that we grow into, right? It's an art to walk in the Holy Spirit. Finding out what God wants us to do, I make myself available. It's like a treasure hunt, right? It's like a treasure hunt. You're looking for the best of the best. Now, it's interesting. We're kind of shifting to the will of God here. What is important, what is not. Romans chapter 12 gives us a lesson on finding the will of God. I just want to read with that. Turn there. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I want you guys to see this for yourself. It's an amazing book, the book of Romans, and this is the culmination of it. He's talking about service, talking about salvation, talking about all the things of God, and then he gets to the point of like, well, what should we do about that? And then here's what he says, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. So it's kind of interesting. You know, we always want to find the will of God, but what he says, give yourselves over to me and you will find the will of God. That's what he says in this text in Romans. So availability is key to both service and to finding the will of God in my life. So you have this. You have ability. Then you have availability. Let's talk about accountability. Verse 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered me 5. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received the 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. He said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came, said, Lord, I know that you are to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid. And I went and hid your talents in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown. You gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. So God requires of this investment in your life. We talked about the investment that God makes in your life. What does he require? He requires a return on his investment. You know, one of the things that the Holy Spirit does in our life, he produces fruit in our life, and that is in our relationship with him. And that's kind of a return of his investment. You know, you look in Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit, love, peace, joy, all those things. God wants those things to come out of your life. That's part of the return of his investment. But in particular, when we're talking service here, there's a principle. You know, he requires a return on his investment. And there's this principle of giving much, that when he gives much, he requires much. That's a principle of God. And you guys as parents, you understand that. If you've had more than one kid, you'll understand that. That I have come to understand and to expect different things from all 3 of my kids who are grown adults now. But certain areas I require more than other areas of other kids. I mean, one area, one of the kids was smarter in, was sharper in. And so you would require differently, but you would require according to their abilities, you would require the return back. So 1 Corinthians chapter 4 says, moreover, it is required in stewards, and that would be all of us, we're stewards of God, that one be found faithful. One be found faithful. So there's this requirement that God has, this accountability. Also in Luke chapter 12, it says, for everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. You know, the criticism of this parable is to the man who hid his talent in the ground. And the appreciation of this parable is to those who have made themselves available in the investment that the master gave them. They went out and invested. They made something of what the ability. And, you know, we really need to pay attention to the rewards. He says to the two, he says, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. So notice the five and the two talents are, they almost have the same equal reward. So the ability, whatever, if you're five or two or one, God just wants something back in return. And that reward is there. Charles Spurgeon spoke on this parable and said this, if there be degrees in glory, they will not be distributed according to our talents, but according to our faithfulness in him. And that's what it is. It's not so much that the one guy with one talent with that smaller ability, he just was not faithful. You notice, and we're going to talk about this more next week because I don't want to get into too much of his situation because it did not end well. And we'll talk about that next week, including with some other things at the end of the chapter. But when you look at his situation, the Lord called him lazy and wicked. He was just lazy. That's what it was. It was, I just hit it in the ground because he was lazy. He was lazy. He was, you know. Though I am not a Billy Graham, I can have the Billy Graham reward. Billy Graham, maybe he's been given a lot, a lot is expected out of him. Whatever your God gives you, God expects out of you, not comparing you to Billy Graham or anybody. Accountability will be measured not according to gifts, but according to faithfulness. That's what it is. It's not even according to ability, but according to your faithfulness, your response to him and what he's given you. I think there's a very harshness toward the one that hid the talent in the ground. And like I said, we're going to discuss that next week. I purposely omitted verses 28 and 29, or 29 and 30, because we're going to cover that next week, because it is kind of jammed up toward the end of the chapter. And I want to speak a little bit more on that next week. Right now, let's just say we're speaking about the Christian. I mentioned at the beginning of the study that Jesus had begun to focus on the most important things, and here we're talking about staying busy with the Lord. Occupy until I come. That's what he's saying. Occupy until I come. Or until we go, right? One or the other. Until we go, or until he comes, occupy. So using our abilities with our availabilities, knowing that we will be held accountable before the Lord. I mean, those are principles that are built into this particular parable. But think about this. We have this great reward in heaven. You know, whenever Jesus spoke about rewards in heaven, it was not a small reward, a trinket, a little of this. He says, a great reward in heaven. That great means mega in our That's Greek, mega. Mega reward. Big reward. It's a big reward. So we have this great reward in heaven. So abilities, availabilities, and accountabilities to the believer. That's what we're speaking about here. So we've been talking about staying busy or being occupied with the Lord till he comes back. We looked at God's investment in you, the ability, availability, accountability, all in this chapter. You know, this should encourage you to step out in faith. Step out in faith in what God has for you. Don't be Christians that sit on their hands. well, it's just not going to happen in this church. Believe me, I'm going to rile you guys up all the time. Don't be Christians that sit on their hands. Step out in faith. Explore. You know, it's this simple. You start with a simple step of obedience, something maybe the Holy Spirit puts on your heart, something real simple, and see where it leads, right? See where it leads. And one of the things that I've learned about gifts and talents and abilities is that it's both exploratory. You're always kind of exploring what your gifts are, but it's a growing process. Those two things happen all the time. You kind of explore and you step out and you walk out. Maybe you're out on the ledge a little bit with stepping out in faith. But it's exploratory, and it's also a growing process with your faith. You might not even know where you're going, but you start off, and then the Lord leads you in all of that. You have to start somewhere to take a chance to, you know, step out in faith, test your gifts, and you need to experiment on your callings. You need to experiment on that, to be faithful in the little things. You know, we think, well, this is what I feel like the Lord's calling me to, but that might be something very minor in the beginning of your walk, and it might completely change as you mature. It might be completely different. He might be setting you up for leadership. He might be setting you up to be a teacher, different things like that. So to be faithful in the little things will lead you to the greater works of God. Time to get rid of the shovel, right? If you don't have a shovel, you can't bury your talents, right? That's what it comes down to. So, you know, the scriptures assure us that God has unique things for all of us to accomplish and that he has already prepared us beforehand. And those unique things, they're prepared. They're waiting for you to discover. And remember, you are unique to God and important to God. So those talents, the story about this Italian sculptor, I'm going to pronounce his name wrong, Bentivogli Cellini, I think that's how you pronounce it. He was a sculptor in Italy. I think it was in Florence, if I'm not mistaken. It was told that he received a vast block of marble with one flaw in it. You know, those were the times where they were doing the great statues, the lifelike statues. And because of the flaw, he wouldn't touch it, and no one else would either, except for one person. So in the public square, it was Florence, they built a fence around this thing, and they put a little shack for the artist to be there. And for 2 years, the sculptor labored, then the fence was taken down, the shack was taken away, and all of Florence just marveled at this incredible work. And since then and today, we know it as David's Michelangelo. You know, they wouldn't touch it because it had a little flaw in it, but he saw the statue in there. He saw what he could do. In that block of marble was this great statue that we all admire today, but he saw it. He saw it because he was unique for the job. So God sees in us a lot more. We have a couple cracks here and there, right? All of us do. But God is creating this glorious vessel that I love the scripture in Daniel. Because we're in the people business. We're in the people business. We're to bring people to Christ. All of our works, the only reason we're here is to grab as many people as we can and take them with us. That's really the only reason. There's no other reason to be here other than to preach the gospel. But I love this scripture in Daniel. It's always been one of my favorites. I like the name, too. The name is kind of nice, you know, Daniel. It says this in Daniel chapter 12, verse 3, those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. What a beautiful scripture. Maybe you're a five talent. Be faithful. Be faithful in that. Maybe two talent, right? Be available. Make yourself available. And if you're that one cylinder engine, you know, the one talent person, like I said, squeeze everything you can out of it. You maybe got to work a little harder, but that's okay. God has probably given you a little bit better backbone, right? A little bit better back to work harder. So great is your reward in heaven. Great is your reward in heaven.